want to know what it is. The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Seen that movie? That movie is The Matrix. It's actually rated R, so I'm glad to see not many hands came up. That's good. I didn't show you any rated R footage, so it's all good. Yes, Mr. Burt's got Bibles. Pass them out. If somebody needs one, please get a Bible. You're going to need it tonight. We're going to look at a text. That's what we do on Sunday night. We study the text. So be sure you have a Bible to look at, and you look at it. Interesting about that. Little scene related to what we're going to study tonight is the fact that he gives them two choices. It's intriguing. But the more intriguing part, if you understand the concept here in this movie of The Matrix, is what's the main character's name? It's not Morpheus is the guy talking. Leo, that's it. Leo? Neo, thank you. I was thinking, Leo's not right. All right, Neo is already existing in the Matrix. He didn't know it. He's already been there. Lived his whole life there and has no idea, according to the movie's plot. What Morpheus is offering him is new eyes to see and understand his plight, what he's living in, what are his true. Remember he said at the end, he said, I'm offering you truth, nothing more, which is kind of cool. Huh? Was that a lie? No, it's actually, well, it gets complicated. But anyway, you got to watch the movie. Anyway, I don't know if y'all can watch the movie. But anyway, let's lay that aside. But his point is, I'm offering you truth, no, nothing more. What he's offering him is the ability to see. And in the choice of the two pills, he's saying, if you take this pill, then you just continue in the same state you've always been. Ignorant to the things that are truth, ignorant to the things of reality, and just participating in what you perceive to be reality. Or you could take the red pill, which is the other hand, you could take the red pill and then see beyond what you perceive to be reality and begin to see more, to see truth. Now, there's all kinds of ways that this movie breaks down when you compare it to the gospel. But in regard to what we just described, the idea that we are on a path from birth, and that is the only life that we know and the only reality that we perceive and can understand, and then we are given the opportunity through the gospel of Jesus Christ at some point in our lives to suddenly understand truth, meaning objective truth, and look beyond what we perceive about the person that we are and the world in which we live to see more and to see a deeper reality, a genuine truth that we aren't capable of seeing on our own before then it's fascinating. I love that he says, too, that you're in a prison along with everyone else from your birth. We, too, from birth, are imprisoned, prisoners to sin, incapable of seeing and understanding truth until someone offers us the ability to see and to begin to understand a true reality that goes beyond what we perceive. Fascinating parallels. I love the way Hollywood stumbles on the story of the gospel so many times without ever really knowing it and never acknowledging it. But it's interesting how you see that. Now, so Morpheus gives him two choices. He basically outlines there are two kinds of people in this movie. Those who exist just in their own lives and really have no idea about the objective reality that is out there, the other reality that's out there, and those who do have understanding and can see. Well, as we finish up our study on Unshakable, these seven keys to a life that endures, Jesus ends this message, which is at the end of chapter 7, by talking about two different types of people. And it's very much like what we talked about. Those who are just living in their lives, man, just going about their way, living their lives as they always have from birth. No idea that there is any truth outside of themselves or outside of their own lives. And then there are those who have understood that there's something different. There's something more. And those would be people, genuine people of faith. Now, in this at this end of the chapter, Jesus is going to draw a distinction between two types of people. And he uses the analogy of a gate and a path or a road to do it. And it starts out in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Let's pray together as we start. Father, we're grateful for this time together, and we would ask, Lord, that you would bless our time in the Word, that you would give us insight and understanding tonight as we read and as we study. Lord, help us to discern the distinction between those who are just traveling along a path with really no regard for the truth, and to recognize those who understand a greater reality, and then to test ourselves, Lord, to say, Lord, where are we? Which path are we on tonight? I ask, Father, that you would bless our time as we study. Give us great insight and understanding, and open hearts, Father, for this is a work that only you can do. And I would ask, Father, that you would do it in the lives of our students tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus starts out in verse 13 this way. You remember verse 12 we studied last week, which was the golden rule. And he transitions very suddenly to the end of his sermon, almost like his conclusion. And he's going to distinguish one thing, these two types of people. And these two types of people go back to the people we talked about earlier. Those whose righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Legitimate people of faith, and those people who are not legitimate people of faith. People of genuine faith. And he starts us this way. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, the whole rest of the section from this point on, all the way to the end of the sermon, Jesus is going to unpack what he just said in these words, in verse 13 and 14. And what he's describing is two paths. The first, he says, is a wide way that is easy and leads to destruction. Jesus is going to describe, and Lane, I'm going to need you to advance it because I can't get my clicker to work up here. So go ahead and go to the next slide. And one more. Jesus is going to describe these two paths in life that lead to two very different end results or very different destinations, two roads or two paths. And the first one, he says, look, he tells his followers, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. So the first path, go ahead and go to the next one, Lane, is the wide path that leads to destruction. And it's contrasted with the narrow path that leads to life. Now, what Jesus says about him, he says, look, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. When he says the gate is wide, he's saying that it's like a large gate that you could go through, not a little narrow place that you would get through, but like our doors over here, two double doors that swing open that allow a lot of people to go through. Or maybe you might think of a massive gate that just allows a flood of people to walk through it. We tend to think, when we think about a way or a road, we think cars. So the wide road is like a superhighway, yeah. In Dallas, we used to ride on some of the roads, and they would have five lanes each direction. I mean, you're just rolling, man, and it'd all be full. People rolling through. I mean, just tons of cars flowing through. Most of our roads around here, two lanes each way, right? Or one lane each, yeah, kind of weak. And you like that? Yeah. Anyway, but large road, this is a wide road. So he says, wide is the gate, and a gate is something through which you enter in, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. When he says the way is easy, he's saying that it's not constricted, it's not hindered. It's kind of the way that we know to live life. I love that the Bible says, and it's so powerful, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. What he's saying about this way, this wide way of life, is that it's the way we kind of naturally do life, right? When we naturally are born and you grew up as children, who are you interested in serving? Yourself. And you would cry, and your parents hated it. And you'd wake them up at night, and they'd go in there, and you'd be like, I want, you know, whatever you wanted, and they'd have to figure out what it is. And from that point on, you have continued to be self-serving in your life. It's the way we function. We are all on this wide road that leads to destruction. Because we are all born in sin. We are all born serving ourselves, looking for ways that we can gratify the flesh and gratify the own things that we desire and serve our appetites, meet our needs, all those things. So the way is easy and the way is wide, but the end result of that way is, or that road is, destruction. Now, Jesus contrasts that with a different way. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. When he says narrow, he's describing a tight gate that you have to step through to get through, which means you're not going to move a lot of people through that gate. And then after the gate, he describes a road that is narrow and hard. The word hard there means to be constricted or difficult to go through or to walk along or make your way through. Narrow is the way that leads to life. So what Jesus is challenging his followers on here is to say, which road are you on? Because each road leads to a very different destination. If you guys were to leave here and you wanted to go to Atlanta, what road would you get on? You get on I-95, Isaac. And where would Isaac end up if he got on I-95? Florida, Miami eventually, right? Does it go all the way down? Why? Because I-95 goes down, south, right? If you want to get to Atlanta, you have to get on what? I-20. Did you say four? Thank you, Derek. I-20. And if you get on I-20, you're going to end up in Atlanta. And you'll pass through and keep going. Eventually, you will go all the way to within 5 miles of where I lived in Dallas. So when I lived in Dallas, if I wanted to go to South Carolina, to Florence, what did I do? I got on I-20 and I went east that way. Yes, east until I got to Florence. But if I would have gotten on a different road, I wouldn't have ended up in the same destination that I expected to. Just like if Isaac would got on I-95 heading to Atlanta, soon he would be sorely disappointed. Either he would hit Miami or he'd hit water eventually, and he'd say, I never found Atlanta. If you are on a path going in a direction, it always leads to a destination. Guys, we are all born sinners. We're all born on the wide road. Every person. What's different about this from Morpheus, Morpheus kind of gives them two choices. We don't have a choice, do we? Who made that decision for us about which road we were on? Our great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather, Adam and Eve. When they ate the fruit, they put us on a superhighway. And that highway is heading in a direction. It has as its destination destruction. And that word destruction means to annihilate or destroy. And it includes the concept of death and the wrath of God that we face as sinners before a holy God. And we're on that path. And Jesus comes along, though, and he stops his disciples. And he says, enter by the narrow gate. All of us are on this highway. And unless someone comes into our lives and stops us, kind of the way Morpheus brought two pills and gave us the option to get off of that highway and get onto a different road, a different path, we will ultimately go where that road leads, which is destruction. Guys, Jesus Christ has come into your life. That's why you're here. And he's offering you an option to get off of the wide road that leads to destruction. And the whole world looks at this road and thinks, man, this is the way to go. It's the way that feels right to a man. Self-serving, self-gratification, all those things. And it feels right to us. Why do I need to make a change? I'm doing okay. I got plans ahead. I got all kinds of things ahead of me. Why do I need to make a change? This all church stuff is all crazy. Why are they always on us, telling us we're sinners and all this kind of stuff? Because wide is the road. And you're running along this road. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're running along with the masses, all headed in a direction, thinking everything is good, deceived into thinking that we've got it all made and we're doing the right thing, only to find out at the end of your life that this road is going to a place you don't want to go. It's working itself out in my life in a way that I don't want to work it out. And if someone along the way could offer us the opportunity to get off of this road. So Jesus said, take the narrow gate. Don't take the wide road. Get off the wide road. Its end is destruction. And get on the narrow road, which leads to eternal life. Eternal life. Guys, we have to make a choice. And if you have been given that opportunity of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that everyone in here is a sinner, when we're born into this world, and we are in desperate need of someone who would rescue us from the course that we're on in our lives, and we understand that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, rose again the third day in order to get people off of the wide road and show them how they could enter through the gate. We learn in John, who's the gate? Jesus. He says, I am the gate for the sheep, and they come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is the gate. He is the means whereby we get off the wide road and get over on the narrow. Now, he says, narrow is the way and hard. Narrow is the gate and hard is the way. Because it's limiting. People don't want to be limited, do they? I want to live for themselves, man. I want to do my own thing. Who you tell me I'm wrong? I can set my own pace. Right? That's the wide way. But the narrow way says, you know what? That way leads to destruction. And I'm going to bring myself underneath the authority of God. Because this way leads to life. It gives me hope. I've got a future on this road. That's what Jesus brings up. Now, and from this point on, he's going to teach them, what then does a life look like for the person who's on the narrow way and the first person that's on the broad way, on the wide road, right? He's going to draw the distinction. The next one he brings up is this. Bring it up for us, Lane. The narrow path leads to a God-honoring life, but the wide path leads to a self-serving life. Two differences. And he goes on in 15, he says, look, beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Now, these are guys who are imposters. They're wearing sheep's clothing, but on the inside, what's going on? They're wolves. Miss Hannah and those experienced wolves at the 3C retreat. They heard them outside anyway. That's as close as they got, I think. They said wolves. I'm a little uncertain, but anyway, they think it was wolves. You saw their eyes? Yeah. Anyway, so I haven't seen a wolf recently, so what I went with was a Terminator. Anybody ever seen a Terminator?
Yeah. Terminator 1, 2, and
3. Wow. Terminator. It is radar, I think, isn't it? Really? Genesis is PG-13. It's probably we lowered our standards. But anyway, all right. In the Terminator comes to kill John Connor, Sarah Connor, his mom, right? But how is he dressed? In human skin. And you don't recognize this person until it's too late, till he's already killed you, right? Because you think, you like that word, killed? Because you think he's legit, right? This is the person you're talking about. He says, beware the false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, what's really going on inside is they're ravenous wolves. Who is he talking about? He's talking about unbelievers. Sorry. He's talking about unbelievers impersonating as believers. Unbelievers who are pretending to be Christians, who maybe even are going through the motions, doing all the things, think they are Christians, maybe some of them deceived. But he says they're ravenous wolves, and he says, look, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So in other words, if you're a believer, we know that by your fruit. What fruit? Well, he's going to tell us later that the fruit is the doing the will of God. It's obedience. The believer is going to live a life that honors God. Not just for show, but legitimately is going to honor God with their lives. And you'll see the fruit of that in their lives. But the unbeliever, the person who's just going through the motions, just going through the religious motions, doing the things, but there's no heart change, is a person who's like a disease tree. And you're not going to get good fruit. A disease tree brings forth diseased fruit, bad fruit. And you recognize a tree by its fruit. Guys, there have been times when I've had students, and I've had parents talk to me, or I've had people talk to me, or I've had things go on, and I'm like, you know, I don't even know this brother. I don't know if this teenager's saved. Because when I look at their lives, I don't see the fruit of God at work in their lives. They come to church, maybe do our events, maybe go rafting with us, go to camp with us, whatever else. But when I look at their lives, I don't see the evidence of God at work in their lives. I don't see that fruit. You will know a tree by its fruit. Now, are we to judge on that in the sense that we're supposed to be judgmental? No, because we don't know. But I will tell you this, as I evaluate students based on that, and I look at you guys, and I look at your lives, and I look for evidence that God is at work in your life, and if I don't see it, you know what the first thing I want to tell you about is? This is how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you'll surrender your life to him, he will transform you. That's the starting point. What Jesus says about these folks, you look, he said, you can tell. Eventually. Now, people can put up a pretty good show, but eventually we recognize a tree by its fruits. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, and then he continues and kind of explains more about these folks. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. That's what it means to yield fruit in your life. It's the person who walks in obedience. Now, does it mean we walk all the time in obedience? No, because we're not perfect. We're going to struggle. But the person who knows Jesus Christ recognizes sin in their lives and is repentant. If you deal with somebody who just has no remorse, no care for the things of God, no care for the Word of God, then that person doesn't know Jesus Christ. Because when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, he puts his Spirit within us. And that has to be a moment in time. If we're on the broad road, there has to be a time when we do what? We take the exit ramp and we go on to the narrow road. Right? There has to be a moment when we make that decision. If you have never made that decision in your life, and you can't look back on a time and say, there was a time in my life, sometime, it doesn't have to be an exact date, but some range of time, when you made that decision, then you're on the broad road. There has to be a time when you can look back and say, no, 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 not me, man. I heard the gospel. I heard the good news. I heard there was a Savior. I heard I was a sinner. I heard I was going to die because of my sin. And I heard that he died on my behalf. And that if I would just put my faith and trust in him, I could be saved through him. And I made that decision. There has to be a time. Now, when I made that decision, I was right by myself. I didn't go down front, do any of those things. I wasn't in youth group. I was right by myself. But I knew the good news. And I knew I was weary of being a sinner. And I made that decision. And I was transformed. And from that point on, something different about my life. I couldn't do the things I used to do. Now, I did some of those things, because I hadn't learned. But I just couldn't. There was just something changed. God flipped a switch in my heart and life. And I just could not quite walk in that way. There was a transformation in me. And that was the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I just couldn't do it anymore. A person who is a believer in Christ will honor God with their lives on some level. On some level. And it will be genuine and from the heart. But Jesus says, these folks, he says, look, on that day, which is the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And do not do many works, or that would be miracles, in your name? And Jesus will say to them, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Which, and that little phrase is key, because it indicates what is the key to salvation. Is doing great works in Jesus' name the key to being saved? No. If you cast out a demon, if Caleb over here, we're doing our Aspire study tomorrow, and he casts a demon out of one of us, is that going to get him into heaven? No. It would be interesting to watch, wouldn't it? But no, that wouldn't happen. Or if tomorrow we're doing Aspire, Chris does a miracle of some sort, is that going to get him into heaven? No. He said, I never knew you. You get into heaven because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in no other way. There is no other way. And religious works will not get you there. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, and the last one, and we're done. The narrow path leads to confidence, and the wide path leads to fear. The narrow path leads to confidence. The wide path leads to fear. Look at the rest of the verse. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Now, notice when he said that. Everyone who does these words, hears these words and does them. It goes back to obedience. Because you can hear all kinds of things. Many of you guys have been to church your whole life. And there are people who spend their lives in church. I mean, they're rocking them in the nursery when they're little babies. And they go all the way up through high school and they go off to college and they never got it. How many times did they hear the gospel and they never surrendered their lives to Christ? Hearing isn't enough. Participating in this youth group is not enough. It has to be translated into an action. And what is that action? It's the choice to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That's doing the will of God. He says, look, everyone who hears his words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Love that. Which would that be easy to do? No, why? Because rock is hard. And you have to chisel, you have to dig. I mean, it's difficult to build your house upon a rock. It's like a man who builds his house on a rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, but it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on a rock. It was founded on a rock. Guys, when you understand and know the Word of God and you build your life on that truth, now this is the person who puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then your life will be like the man or the woman who built his house upon a rock. The guy who didn't build his house on a rock, the guy later who says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And how great was the fall. It'd be like that person who built his house upon sand, and the result of that was the destruction, the fall of his life. But this guy who's built his house, or this woman who's built his house on the rock, does not have to fear. Guys, there are going to be winds that come into your lives. There are going to be storms that come into your lives to test you and to see where you are. The person of faith, the person that's on that narrow road, can handle those things because his life is built upon the truth of God's word. That's the difference between the wide road and the narrow road. The wide road feels good. It feels like, man, I get to do what I want. I don't have to worry about all these rules that the church tries to put on me, all that kind of stuff. The wide road feels like it's the right thing. But it leads to uncertainty and fear. Why is our generation, I brought this up at the high school trip, why is this generation so unwilling, oftentimes, not your generation, but the next one before you, to get married? Why are people afraid of commitment? Yes. What if it doesn't work? There's a fear that if I commit to something, it might not work out the way that I think it's going to work. Guys, that is the wide road, man. That is the way we live our lives. That's what it's like to live on the wide road. You have no certainty. You have no surety about anything. We're just living my life. The narrow road gives you certainty. And that's what leads to courage in our lives. Do you want to be a person of conviction? Break yourself out of this generation that has lost touch with truth. What's happened is our generation has given up the truth and said all truth is relative. It's up to me. And whatever I decide is right and wrong. What that does is produce uncertainty in your life and fear. And if you go along that road, if you keep running with all these folks that are running on that wide road, that's what you will have the rest of your life until the day that you die. And when you die, you know what you will have there too? Fear. Because Because who knows what's future? Who knows what's next? If you want to be a person of conviction, if you want to have courage, if you want to set yourself apart from this generation and set yourself as a person who knows what's going to happen. What's cool, and the kind of the courage concept through this, the person who's on the narrow path knows what's ahead. You know the future. And no matter what befalls your life, no matter how badly things go, no matter what happens, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you die. And when you die, you get to go to heaven. Isn't that great? Now, I'm not looking to die tomorrow, but I'm not afraid to die tomorrow because I know what's next. I am a little afraid of the experience of dying. Just going to put it out there. I'll remember it while it's happening. Not looking forward to that part. But the other side, it's all good, man. Have courage. How do you have courage? When you're like, look, it's all good. Kill me. I got eternal life. I'm going to live forever. What do you do with that dude? I've heard about, what's the story, and I don't know if it's true, of Billy Graham, when somebody took him. You know, and it's a great story, whether it's true or not. But anyway, they took him and they had him for held him for ransom. He said, if you don't pay us the money, we're going to kill him. Billy Graham's like, kill me, dude. Why? Yeah, what do you do with that dude if you're trying to get a ransom? You're like, really, dude? Because you're not afraid to die. You have courage. You have courage because you see God's hand at work in your life when you're on the narrow. You see God transforming you, and you see God growing you up in the faith, and you have a hunger for his word, and his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are in the faith and it's transformative. And then you build your house on a rock, and you know that you can believe God for the even through the bad things because he's got it and he is in control. And I've gone too long. We got to close in prayer. We're going to take a few minutes with our groups, but we won't have long. Guys, I want you to think, and my final question is this. Bring it up, Lane. Which path are you on? It's not a matter of choosing today. You don't get to pick one or the other. You don't get to be on the fence. You're on one or the other now. The question is, are you on the broad path or the wide path, or the narrow path? Which one? If you're on the broad path, then you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, and you can enter through the narrow gate and have life. If you're on the broad path, think about that. If you're on the narrow path already, then are you living in light of that reality? Does your life reflect a life that's being lived in that way for God's glory? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time in your word. I ask, Father, that you lead us out as we go from here. Lord, bless our time. I know we don't have much time in our groups, but just a moment to pray together. And I ask, Father, that you would give us that time that we could reflect briefly and pray and ask, Lord, for you to move and stir hearts for your glory this week. This week. Lord, we trust you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's quickly...